Now it's time to chat to Peter Allam, our legal eagle for today on duty, and we're talking about legal tips. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Ryan. Welcome to the listeners. As mentioned, it's a very windy coast at the moment. There was some heavy rains last night and during the evening as well, I suppose, if one can say that. When I say last night, the early part of the evening had some heavy rain. Yeah, that's one of those days you've got to live with. This morning we're going to chat about some useful legal tips, all sorts of different things that people just don't bear in mind or take into account and get caught out with. And the reason I'm chatting about that is because I had somebody that was stopped, asked for his driver's license. He said, oh, hell, man. You know what? I left my wallet at home. I've just realized that now. And he got a 1,000 rand fine. Of course, it reduces itself to 200 rand. And he felt that was grossly unfair because he has a valid driver's license and wanted to know why he should be punished when he presents it. But unfortunately, you know, that's the law. You need to abide by the law. You are expected to carry your driver's license with you at all times. So, you know, it's your mistake is going to cost you. That's what it basically is that if you leave it behind, you're going to pay. You're not going to get away with it, completely. You can take it. They'll reduce the fine, shall I say, to 200 Rand, but you will have to pay that. So, you know, that says not only your driver's license, but think about what you have. You have a car license. Some people have a trailer. Some people have a caravan. Some people have a motorcycle. When last have you been outside and just checked that? You know, in the old days, you used to get a reminder that arrived in the post. Our postal service doesn't really exist these days anymore, so nothing comes by post. Some people are lucky enough to get an email every now and then, but there's no obligation on the authorities to remind you that your license is expiring, that you need to renew your license or anything like that. So licenses are one of the things that you must check. Your drivers, your motor vehicle, caravan, trailer, motorcycle, all of those have an expiry date. And in all fairness, the government or the authorities do allow you 1 month after the expiry to purchase it or get the license. And these days you can do it online, which is fantastic. In fact, I do all of mine online. You fill in the form, you pay, you send it off. And in fact, I've got delivery the next day, believe it or not, in 1 or 2 instances.
Wow, that's quick.
So I must say it's a system that's jacked up. I was quite surprised. My car one, I did it early in the morning. That afternoon, the next day, it was there delivered by courier, which was fantastic. You know, I don't know where it comes from, but anyway, that's the luck that I had with a car license this year in February. And so licenses are one thing that you need to double check. So take the time, go outside, take a photo of your car license and see when it expires. You've got to find a lot of people that do what we're saying now. We'll find that the license actually expired maybe 6-7 months ago and it's completely slipped your mind.
Right.
You know, you don't even realize that it's happened. So that would be licenses. And then when you talk about licenses as well, another aspect that you need to check on is that these days your insurance companies are renewing your insurance annually. So beware of that, you know. People just say, oh, I'm insured, I'll pay my premium, it's going through. To my surprise, I received an update renewal about a month ago, and all of a sudden I need a certificate of compliance because I've got gas, I need an electrical certificate that they wanted me to produce. You know, something that's never happened before. And I found it rather strange, but it was there, and I could have ignored it and just carried on paying and had a problem at the end of the day. So another thing, check your renewals for insurance. Check that they haven't added some clauses. I mean, you know, in this day and age, the insurance company changes, not like the old days. You know, some people, I mean, I had insurance for years and years and years, and I didn't neglect it or anything. Thank goodness I had a broker who every year told
just
me
looked
what
after
the
it.
Different requirements are. And like I say, with this very last one, and I renewed now about 2 months ago, all of a sudden these certificates are necessary. And, you know, I asked why, and they just said, well, that's what they require. Mm. You don't have a choice, you know. Yeah. I suppose the next thing they'll probably ask for a roadworthy certificate for your vehicle or something silly like that.
Well, that might not be a bad thing, but I know that we just don't want to be burdened with more admin and stuff. But I get what you're insinuating.
Yeah. So you know that's like some very useful tips on renewals, if we can call it like that, of policies and that. And that type of thing. Another thing a lot of people don't realize as well is that with your life insurance policies or your policy, have a look and see what you've got. You know, I know a lot of people take out policies when they leave school and they start working, and then they don't know what the policy is, what the value of the policy is. Some policies expire at age 65. Other policies have plans on it that need to be changed and redone and things like that. So also with your insurance, make sure that you talk to somebody that knows about policies that can help you and sort out. That's very, very important as well. So policies, licenses, and insurance for your home and that type of thing, all aspects that you need to check, see what you've got and upgrade it. Make sure that you have the right policies and that in place, that you have the right documents in place, that you're not lacking with something. Because the worst thing is to all of a sudden have a claim and then discover that you're out of luck.
Yeah.
You were supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and you never, ever did it. And also your limits. A lot of people don't realize that they're on limits. People don't realize that they increase the contribution that's payable up front when you do a claim and things like that. I had a couple of months ago somebody who came along and he said, oh, I never used to have to pay anything in. Now all of a sudden I must pay $5,000. My claim is only $3,000. Mm. I've been paying insurance for 40 years. I've never claimed. What do they think they're doing?
Mm.
You know, unfortunately in this day and age we live in a world where people put in false claims, which, you know, forces the companies to add various aspects to the policy to protect themselves. That's what people don't understand.
Right.
You've got to look at it from both angles. So, yeah, that's all basically about licenses and policies and that type of thing. Useful tips with regard to that. When we move over from that, let's touch on another thing. Let's go to your home. Let's have another look. So two aspects that there's always a problem with at home is your neighbors, trees, music, and good neighbor relationships. Okay. what am I talking about? Basically, what I'm saying is have a look at the trees that you have around your house, especially on the boundary wall. When last have you walked out and seen, well, you know, my trees, when I moved in here 10 years ago, was a small little tree. Now it's a big tree. I can put a wood out in the top for my kids.
Mm.
And what's the roots doing, you know? Don't get a wake-up call from the neighbor to say, hello, your tree is now uprooting my swimming pool. You know, it's got big and you haven't trimmed it and it's causing damage to my pool. And, you know, I often get the statement, oh, it's not my problem. You know, if the tree's gone underground, why didn't the neighbor just cut it?
Mm.
It's not as simple as just cutting your neighbor's trees, preventing the roots. You need to discuss with your neighbor and say, look, I'll pick up a problem. I know basically when we lived in Beacon Bay, we used to have a tree in a corner that used to upset the wall between the two of us. It was one of those fibercrete walls, and every now and then we had to move the panel around the tree and give the neighbor a bit of land or the neighbor give us a bit of land to accommodate it and that type of thing. But, it's worth a trip around the garden to see what your trees are doing, not only for your neighbor's sake, but for your own sake. You know, it could be uprooting your very own foundations in your house.
Yes.
Get these tree huggers that don't want to touch trees, and there's certain trees that you're not allowed to touch.
Mm.
But beware of them and be careful. You know, the law is there that you need to look at it and you need to get permission in certain instances to touch the tree. So the right thing to do is to have a look at the tree. You know, monster trees, for example, are avocado pear trees. They grow huge and their roots spread wide and that type of thing, fruit trees and things like that. You know, a lot of people just leave them in the bottom of the garden. Now, often don't you find a lemon tree or orange tree or something like that in the bottom of the garden, and it's a bush that you've never trimmed. That's why you're not getting fruit off it and that type of thing. So be cautious with the trees. But one important thing about a tree as well is that if your neighbor's tree is hanging into your house, you have a right to cut whatever overhangs into your yard.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to get permission from the neighbor. So if I've got a branch of Wayne's tree hanging into my yard, I have every reason to cut it. I do not have to entertain your branch or your leaves. I can cut it and make it look like one of those funny one-sided trees. I don't need your permission for that. But why do that? Why cause a hassle with the neighbor? You know, invariably, I mean, I remember the big tree I'm talking about in the back of our garden in Beacon Bay at the top of the hill there was a beautiful tree. On both sides of the fence, we had little garden sets. They had and we had, and it gave us protection from the sun and that type of thing. You know, it was right there at our swimming pool. It was in the yard where the neighbor spent a lot of time and that type of thing. So trees, have a look at, do an inspection and make sure that, you know, you get on with your neighbor insofar as that is concerned. I mean, these days, I think 90% of the people don't even know or care who the neighbor is. I remember arriving in Beacon Bay and the old cunny next door came along with biscuits and rusks and tea to introduce herself, and we knew exactly who she was. In fact, she looked over the wall every second day to tell us where our washing was blowing off the lines and what was happening. She knew exactly what was happening in our yard. You don't really get that these days. You know what happens now? Sometimes you can have washing that blows into your neighbor's yard. You think it's gone and lost or stolen and been lying in the yard for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, that neighborly relationship is important. And, of course, the biggest problem there, and you see it on all of these groups, loud music is being played. What time does music have to be cut off and that type of thing? Music is a monster complaint amongst tenants. You get unreasonable people. Yes, your neighbor is allowed to play loud music. There isn't a restriction on that during normal times. It only comes in, you know, depending on what the area rules and regulations are. So if you're in a complex, you'll have it in the complex will have its rules as to loud music. If you're just living out in a suburb, you're entitled to play music. I think the quiet time becomes 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You get people that complain constantly about, we've got a nightclub near us or a pub near us, and they've got a blinking disco tonight, and the music's blaring, and we can't sleep, and we can see the lights from the music that's been played and that type of thing. You know, think, if you're nice to your neighbor, you go chat to them, go chat to the owner of the restaurant or the pub or whatever. You know, it might be a one-off situation where they're having a function to raise funds or something like that. It might be a school. It might be a community hall or something like that. So, you know, what I'm saying is that you are entitled to play music and just go and look after it. That's all I'm saying. You know, make sure that you do that. Don't leave it. Don't cause hassles with your neighbor because of a bit of music. You know, it all amounts, when you look at trees and music and things like that, that good neighborly relationship helps. Talk to each other. You know, if there's a problem, don't keep quiet. If the neighbor's child is causing hassles, you know, you often get people that throw their rubbish over the wall or put another common thing in the suburbs is, you know, why the heck is Wayne putting his rubbish in front of my house every morning? Why doesn't he put it in front of his own house? You know,
right.
I see that on the groups all the time. Why is my house chosen for the place where the rubbish is put? Well, it's probably still the dirt box trucks that come around. You know, they normally have somebody that scouts the area. Or you get, these days, there's so many beggars and that on the streets that clear the bins, and they normally carry the bags to one central point where they check them. Mm. You know, some of them are neat with doing it. Some of them are appreciated by the neighbors. Some of them aren't appreciated. Some of them tear the bags open and leave it lying all over. Mm-hmm. But invariably, you find a lot of them that are very good, that will open the bags and, you know, take what they can use or utilize and make sure the bags are sealed and put into a nice, neat bundle for when the dead box truck comes around. Mm. So, you know, that good neighborly relationship is very important. And then, of course, another thing that's blown up these days because everybody's concerned about their own protection is cameras. Mm. You know, yes, I am entitled to put a camera up. No, I'm not allowed to put the camera where it interferes with your yard. You know, I can't put a camera up here and shine into Wayne's yard and see what Wayne is doing. You know, Wayne has a right to tan in the nude if he wants to, and I don't have a right to watch to him tanning and that type of thing.
You wouldn't want to,
you know, but then again, you know, what I say to people where there's been hassles with cameras, did you go to your neighbor when you put the camera up? Did you say to him, I'm putting up a camera, it will protect both of us. Are you happy? Can I sign into your yard? You know, invariably, I mean, if somebody came to me, maybe I'm too old to tan nude anymore or anything like that, you know, but I mean, I would say I would welcome it because it's protection for me. If something does go wrong, if I'm missing something or anything like that, I can pop up next door to the neighbor and say, hey, please, just, you know, have I seem to have lost my pair of pants off the wash line yesterday. Can you just have a look and see if they blew away or Joe Soap came and stole them or what the position is? But once again, it's back to that neighborly relationship that you have, which, you know, And one will say, what have these tips got to do with the law? Well, they've got a lot to do with the law because people are getting protection orders against neighbors. People are bringing people to court for trespassing. Neighbors are fighting daily. People are fighting with insurance company over licenses, over claims, over, you know, those type of things. But these are all things that make a difference. They all fit into the little legal drone, if you want to call it that. You know, they're there, they're useful. You know, drone is another one. I mentioned the word drone and I think about the drone. Can I fly my drone? Yes, you can fly your drone. No, you don't need a license to fly a drone on certain heights and things like that. I mean, you know, the shops wouldn't be selling drones if they were illegal or if you needed a license. Like you need for a motor vehicle, you need a license. You cannot register a car in your name anymore unless you have a proper valid legal
driver's license.
You know, you can't go tomorrow and say, well, I'm going to buy a car for my daughter and I'm going to put it in my name so that she can't sell it. It doesn't work like that anymore. You know, those old days are gone where granny used to buy a car and granny never drove because in the old days only the men drove and not the ladies. It came back way, way, way back now. But yes, you know, that's a problem. You can't do that. And similar with a drone, it depends on the size of the drone. If you're buying an industrial drone, yes, you need a license. You know, it interferes with the aeroplanes and that type of thing. There are all sorts of restrictions and different licenses that are needed for that. But the ordinary old kiddie's little drone that maybe goes up and, you know, as a look at your yard and the neighbor's yard, no, you don't need a drone license for that. You're fully entitled to that. So, you know, when you come to the neighbor, then we had the first one, which was licenses. There were a whole lot of categories. With the neighbor now, you have neighbor's trees, you have music, you have good neighborly relationships, you have cameras, drones, and all that type of thing. So keep the neighbor happy, you know. Chat to the neighbor. Go find out who lives next door. You know, another one with the neighbor is your boundary pegs. The biggest fight these days, I mean, a lot of people these days live in what you call a gated area or like we have all along the coast here where you are, Glengariff, Glen Navarre, Shawfin, Queensbury, all those places. You know, there are no boundary pegs that are really put up there, but they are known. You know, you can get a surveyor in, unless you're in a share block where there are no boundaries, and people don't understand that. You know, in a share block, you just respect your neighbor's yard. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the company. And I find it so laughable when people come in and say, you know, my boundary is there. And I say, but you don't have a boundary. A share block, you own a share certificate. You own all the land jointly and severally. You know, unless you move it over to separate title or freehold, or sectional title or something like that. And even with sectional title, you don't own the land. You only own the building. Everybody owns, you know, a block of flats. You own your flat and that's it. And you can't even do anything with the outside of a building. So the different types of ownership as well play a role in what is happening. So it's very, very important that you find out where your boundary pegs are, if you have boundary pegs. You know, that's the main thing. You can't just guess or say, when I arrived here, I mean, I remember when we arrived at Tsinsa, and there were a lot of caravan sites here. And I remember one day somebody came to us. They wanted to buy a caravan site. It was a friend of ours. And they were telling us, like, come down and have a look here. We're going to show you where the site is. So we went with them to have a look at the site. And I remember Colin saying to them, well, they said to Colin, you see that brick there? And do you see that coral tree there? That's our plot. Our plot goes from coral tree there to coral tree there. That white stone there that was put down by the owners way back in 1989 is our boundary. And we turned it around to them and said, you're buying a caravan site, you know. You just got the right to use that. At this stage, they haven't been changed over to freehold or anything. And, you know, the person was convinced, that's my ground. And in fact, right here in front of us, we have a situation where on the top row, there were maybe five or six caravan sites. And the poor oak on the one corner, he didn't see what was happening as the people were changing. He still had his caravan site, and when he looked again, he had a quarter of the size of what he thought was his left over. Yeah, because every time somebody came to survey, they just stole a little bit of land because there were no permanent markings. So the guy selling was quite happy. You know, the guy would come out and say, okay, I want the land from this point to that point. And the seller would gladly say, yes, you can have that. And they'd register it. No objections, no nothing. The person didn't even know what was happening. So boundary pegs are another thing. So when you come to your neighbors, make sure you know where your boundary peg is. You know, a lot of incidents as well, if you look down in Bonnie Doon and places like that where there's massive bush. I mean, I look where I grew up in Hudson Avenue at the back there before it was developed. You know, Vincent Heights didn't exist. It was all bush. I always thought my old man owned the land like a farm all the way up to the top of the hill on the other side, you know, not realizing, though, that there was a little ravine in the middle at the bottom, and that was where we finished. I mean, we played, we cleaned up there. My dad and the gardener cleaned up across the way from there and all the rest of it. Basil, when we lived in Basil, you didn't get through to Marina Glen. You know, that bush, we believe, belonged to us. We were only about 20, 30 houses there, and all the kids used to play in the bush there, and we used to have Yellow River and High Tree and cowboys and Indians and our bicycles in there, and parts we made. Those are the good old days. Yes, you know, you don't get that anymore. You can't even take a chance with that anymore. Going into the bush, you'll probably get murdered or abducted or something like that, which is sad, but I mean, that's just how the world has moved on. But once again, boundary pegs fall into the whole situation.
Very, very important.
It's very important. And you know what we've been talking about, basically, I mean, you know, these useful tips are something that we can talk for weeks and weeks about. And all I say with all of this over here, if you're having problems or if you're not sure, go spend a little bit of money with an attorney. Most attorneys these days have a one-off consultation fee. We have it at Alum's. You can pop in there and come and chat to us for as long as you like to clear your mind and get clarity. And that's important. You know, if you want to check your policies, go to a broker or somebody that knows. If you want to check your licenses and that, do it yourself. If your license has expired, man, get your new license as soon as possible. You know, there's a penalty there as well. So
yeah,
if your
and
license
costs.
Expired in February, yeah, you've got a certain amount you're going to pay. Don't start arguing now. You know, don't start saying, oh, I never didn't get notification, so I wanted it at the old price. They're not going to give it to you at the old price. The law is the law. It's a punishment penalty, and you cannot do away with it.
Right,
you can't come along and say, the department did not notify me. They must bear that expense. I'm not prepared to pay 1 cent more. They don't care. You're just going to be caught with a vehicle with no
that's not licensed.
And if you're involved in an accident or something, your insurance company could well repudiate your claim because you're unlicensed. That happens. The first thing that you do when you have an accident, a motor vehicle accident, is that they call one for your driver's license. When you go to the police station, you've got to produce your driver's license as well. And two, then when you claim from insurance, they're going to ask you
for your
is the vehicle properly licensed? So you've got your driver's license and your vehicle license.
Right.
It's double whammy. And you could lose out on your claim. You know, the insurance company just repudiate. They say, no, you don't have a driver's license. We're not going to pay
and
you.
And they can't.
So they come along and say, your vehicle, we don't know if it was roadworthy because it had no license. You know, at this stage, they can't ask for a roadworthy certificate, but they can come and inspect your vehicle.
Up-to-date licensing.
Are not good, but it's not compulsory at this stage. Check, though.
Peter?
I don't know if we've got time to go into some more.
We're going to have to leave it there. It's pretty much
different tips. Yeah, you know, we counted over there now, so we can go next week about, you know, you've got things like your getting married, your antenuptial contracts, your FICA, your wills, your, you know, sexual harassment. We shall make it part two next week. We'll go on to other useful tips
next week and
chat about them. Yeah,
we need to do that. We've basically run out of time.
On and on about little one-liners like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, look, there's so many aspects. But one last question, Peter. If somebody wants to reach you, maybe they've got some legal issues that they need dealing with. How do they get in touch with Adams?
Yes, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is. Telephone 043-7211-018. I repeat, 043-7211-018. Or the easiest way, of course, is just to look us up on Wild Coast FM. They'll find all our details there. You put the ads on, well, not the ads, but the chat on every week. And you'll also find us on our own Facebook page. Just add an S to our surname, Allams, A-L-L-A-M for Mary. S, Allams. If you go on there, you'll find all our details. You can send a note to chat, or you can phone. Our telephone numbers are there as well. And we're more than welcome. I mean, you're more than welcome to come in, have a chat. You're more than welcome to phone. As I've also always mentioned, I live out on the coast, so Wild Coast FM is very dear to me and a lot of people. In fact, today I'm going to see somebody at Tsinsa East who can't get to town. He lives in Tsinsa East. He doesn't have a motor vehicle and he wants some legal advice, and I'll pop over there and see him. So if you're out on the coast here in any of the areas there where you are, Wayne, or where I am a little further up, give us a call and we'll make that special effort to come and see you, meet you somewhere, or come to your home if you're stuck, or you can come across to us. You know, I have a front room that's always got customers and clients. You're always welcome.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a good day and don't get blown away.
Absolutely, Wayne. And just another little thing, you know, we chatted a couple of years ago about rates, great car rates.
Yes.
They're going to be going on a drive, so if your rates are outstanding, have a look and sort it out. Don't say, oh, I don't receive a rates account. Not a good enough excuse. Don't say, I don't receive services from Great Car, because they don't charge for refuse removal. They don't charge for water. They don't charge for electricity. They're entitled to, it's a government thing that is set at government level, the rates and that type of thing, and you on a special rate in the Great Car area. So, yes, they're going to start. A lot of people are in for a surprise in this week. They'll be getting demands for their rates and that type of thing. A lot of people as well have relied on that old theory, let's wait until they come after us, we'll get a 50% discount. They've woken up to that. You're going to possibly not get that anymore. Be cautious and make sure that you pay your rates or that you make arrangements to pay it. And another little aspect where we can help, if you have a problem with your rates, give us a call. And we can always negotiate with the great municipality to assist you and get you on board. We have found that 90% of the people in the area have never submitted an email address. There's no postal service. So your rates are going to number 10 Ocean View Crescent, Sinsa. How do you get it? Lord alone knows, because there's no post that goes out there. Nothing's posted. It's not as easy on the Great Kai municipality to deliver a rate to come to you.
You must get it.
You're the owner of the home. The duty is on you to get it.
Rightio. Peter, thank you very much.
We're going to set up like we did the last time, like I mentioned, with the financial manager, chief financial officer, a little chat on rates, and you can tell us.
Go through the whole lot.
What is and what isn't.
Definitely. Yeah. Peter, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Wayne.
Cheerio then. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat.